your eyes are on this child. Your grace abounds to me.
Jesus, thank you so much for your many blessings. Father, I pray that we would each be attentive to your word this morning. We would not be distracted by worries and cares of this life, what's going on this afternoon, but we would be so focused on hearing from you. May you speak to every heart here. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I also wanted to say, just real quick, if you guys know of anybody that needs help this Christmas season, let us know, because we really do have an abundance of people that love to help, and we used to always get Christmas angels from the school, but the last couple of years there's been enough people in the community take those up, so we haven't had any to pass out here at the church. So anyway, if you do know of anybody else that needs help this holiday season, please let me know. We'll do what we can. Now, time for the message, okay? We're going to begin in Matthew 4:4, and we're going to be finishing up our Ten Commandments today. But Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And it's funny how every week with the Ten Commandments, the Lord has kind of given me something a little bit different each week about eating on God's Word, about feeding on God's Word, about how important God's Word is to us. And so here we go with Jesus saying, it is written that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And I wonder how many of us, we're just really not hungry. We're so consumed through the week with our different activities and our sports and our jobs and our kids and our lives that we're just not hungry for God. When I'm hungry, I like to eat. But it seems like to me that we have such an abundance in our world today through entertainment, through jobs, through social media, that we're just not really hungry for God. And I've been there where it was a chore to read God's Word. And then there's been other times that it was a delight, and it's like I couldn't wait. And I do that audio Bible, go through the Bible in a year, and this week I was in a part of the Bible, and it was like I listened to it on my way to work, and I usually listen to one section, but I was so, I couldn't stop listening. I had to listen to the next day because it's like I wanted more. I just was so hungry for what God was saying. And so I hope you're hungry this morning for the Word of God. In Exodus 20:17, it says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservants or maidservants, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." So I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about, to break this down a little bit, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. And as I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about what our houses are built like today. They're big, they're beautiful. If you built a house a few years ago, it doesn't compare to the houses that are built today, because every year it's like the newer houses have to be bigger, they have to be fancier, they got bigger roofs, they got fancier brick and rock, they got better landscaping, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and nicer and nicer and nicer. Why? Why do we do that? Well, because we want to be a little better than so-and-so and a little better than so-and-so. And we want ours just a little bit nicer and just a little bit better. And as I was thinking about coveting your neighbor's house, and coveting is to delight in, it's a lust or a desire. Like you want what they have, okay? You want their stuff. And so your neighbor's house, and I thought of 1 Timothy 6, and verse 6, it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." So you know what? If I'm content with what I have, I'm not going to be coveting my neighbor's house. You know, and I'm not going to lie, some of y'all's houses that I've been to, I've coveted. It's like you have these nice things, you have this, you're on a lake, or you got this beautiful field, or whatever, and it's like, man, I sure would like to have that. But to have godliness with contentment and say, Lord, what you've given me is enough for me. I'm happy for them and what you've given them, but what you've given me is enough for me to have that contentment. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. I do good with that sometimes and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I understand, why do I even bother? This stuff's all going to be burned up someday. I can't take any of it with me. But then other times, I like, well, I want to do this and I want to do that and keep this and hold on to that. You know, I'd heard, and I didn't know I was going to say this. I heard on the radio a few months ago, and I think if I heard right, and I might have already told y'all this once already, because it was a few months ago I heard it. There's more storage units in America now than there are McDonald's. You know, you used to see on the McDonald's sign, you know, billions and billions of, you know, I don't even think they put that on there. There's tons of McDonald's everywhere, but there's more storage units. Why? Because people have so much stuff and they don't want to get rid of it, do they? So they get a storage unit and then they get more stuff and they fill that up and they get a storage unit and they get more stuff and they fill that up and they get a storage unit. And we need to make some space in our house. And I'm looking at some stuff and I'm hanging on to it. And I was just thinking about this yesterday. Why am I hanging on to it? It's something when I'm dead, my kids got to throw out because they don't, it's of no value. Why am I even hanging on to it? I don't like letting go of anything. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out. They're not going to be putting it in the casket with me. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. What happens when you covet your neighbor's house? You want more. You want more and you want to get rich and you need more and you need more. And if you're not careful, you're going to fall into traps. You're going to fall into temptations and you're going to come to ruin and destruction because you're trying to get more and more and more. We work our lives away to keep up with other people. And you know what? Other people really don't even care. They're more worried about themselves. And you know what? If you do get something a little nicer than other people, what are they going to do? They're just going to outdo you. They're going to go get something a little bit better than you. And some people can't afford to do that. I can't. And so what? If I'm trying to keep up with people, I'm going into debt and going into more debt and going into more debt. And then before long, so much debt causes destruction. It destroys homes. It destroys marriages. It destroys lives. All in the name of want. And it begins, I believe, with coveting. What others have, your neighbor's house and all that goes with that. Ephesians 5:5 says, for you may be sure of this. Well, okay, I'm going on. I'm sorry. This is neighbor's wife, okay? And I'm not going to spend too much time on this because we talked about lust and all that a few weeks ago for the Ten Commandments. But shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Ephesians 5:5, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So you think about that if you're sexually immoral or impure, then that's coveting your neighbor's wife, then you have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Colossians 3:5 says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. We need to put that to death. And so I talked about lust and all that a few weeks ago, and so I don't want to spend too much time on that. But I began to think about this in a different way. Not coveting in maybe a sexual way or attractive way, but even coveting in like, man, that guy's wife, she sure can cook good. Do you see the way that she takes care of her husband? Do you see the way that she honors her husband? Why don't my wife do that? Do you see the way that she holds his hand, that she rubs his back? Why don't my wife do that? Or as a woman, you see the way that man takes care of his wife. You see the way that he provides for his family. You see how he does with his children. I wish my husband was like that. I wish my husband did this. See, that's coveting, and that's getting wrong thoughts in your head. And when you begin to look at the grass is greener on the other side, you realize before long that's just grass too. I remember one time, and it was a compliment to my wife, but a man in front of us, I was just sitting there and Crystal just began to scratch my back. I like to be scratched. I like to be rubbed. She does not like doing it though. She doesn't. And so I'm a baby though. I like it. Like, scratch my back. Please scratch my back, you know. And so, I like it. And one day I was sitting there and we was with some other friends and stuff and she began to just scratch my back. I don't know why I didn't ask. And a couple that was with us looked at his wife and said, "See that? Why don't you ever do that to me?" Ooh, wrong thing to say. And it was wrong. It really was wrong. I don't need to look at your marriage. I don't need to look at what you have and say, why can't my wife do that? Why can't my... We have our faults. Well, she does anyway. I'm not the greatest husband. I'm not the greatest dad. I've made plenty of mistakes. She, as a wife, she's made plenty of mistakes. You grow and you learn together but what happens so often is people will look at what other people have and they'll become fixated on it. And they'll say, "I'm lacking. I'm lacking and I wish I had what they had." You even look at that as if you don't have a spouse. And then you covet what others have. And you say, if I could only have that, it would bring me joy, it would bring me peace, it would bring me contentment. I don't think I ever preached this, and maybe I did, my memory's getting bad, but you know, the Lord showed me this summer that sometimes the things that we think will bring us pleasure, will bring us happiness, will bring us completeness, when we get there, there's just more problems. There was a man that I'd heard give his testimony and about trying to find a wife. And he finally got married. And then she couldn't conceive. So they was going to all these baby showers and stuff for their friends and family members, and she couldn't conceive. And he said, "You know, I thought when I got married everything would be great. And then this new set of problems come." We went 4 or 5 years and then ended up adopting and God provided for him. And it was a beautiful testimony. But the whole thing God said to me is the thing that we are coveting has its own set of problems. And the things that we think will bring us contentment, will bring us joy, will bring us happiness, don't always do that. So we need to keep our minds right and not look and look at all the relationships other people have and say, if I could only have that. And you know what else really bothers me? As you guys are my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm your brother in Christ. But how many even brothers and sisters I see now in Christ that it's like they want people to be envious of them. They want people to covet them. They want people to want what they have. You guys know what I'm talking about? The way that they post, the way that they say, the way that they speak, the way they it's like they want people to be envious of them. James 3:16 says, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice." Do we try and make people envious of us? Do we try to make people want what we have And you know those, I heard someone say the other day on the radio, they said, you know, all this social media and stuff, it's a snapshot of their very best. It's not their everyday life. It's a snapshot of their very best. And yet they act like everything's so perfect and everything's so great. And what's it do? It promotes us to be jealous and envious. And where there's jealousy, where there's envy, where there's selfish ambition, it says there you find every kind of evil. We have to guard ourselves against that. We have to guard our minds. We have to guard our thoughts. And we, as men and women of God, need to be careful that we're not promoting that. Does that make sense? That we're not promoting it. That we don't want people to be envious of us. We don't want people to... It's hard, isn't it? It's hard sometimes because you want to... You're proud of things sometimes. And you want to share. I've been boiling over with pride lately. And I ain't telling anybody. And it's hard. It's hard because it's like, man, I'm so excited. I'm so proud. But in reality, people really don't care. You know, they don't care. A few of you might, but most people don't. But I need to be careful with what I'm displaying too, and why I'm sharing what I'm sharing, not to get people to want what I want, to want what I have. Let's go on. You shall not covet his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. We're going to go to Luke chapter 12 for this. So basically what the material possessions of your neighbor. All that he has, all the the things and the abundance of his household. In Luke 12, verse 15, it says, then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. But there I was talking about all that we have, all the junk that we have, all the stuff that we acquire, all the things that we got. And, you know, these celebrities, they'll have these garages, and I like to watch those shows. I hadn't watched them in years, but where they would go through these celebrities in their garages and their 57 Chevys and their 72 pickups and their old Model Ts and their beautiful cars. And there's just rows of them, and it's like, man, that's awesome. And when, in Michigan, where I was born, not too far from where I was born, there's this old antique barn that has all these old classic cars in it, and they have these huge car shows every summer up there. And when I was a teenager and would go up there and spend the summers with my grandparents, and I always wanted to go to the car show. I love looking at all these cars and all this stuff. But it's amazing to me how we put value on somebody that has all that stuff. Christmas parade yesterday and the Corvette Club drives through showing off their cars. And there was this one, man, it was nice. I don't think I could make it up my driveway in it. But I'd have to park it down by the road, but it was nice. And we look at these people and we put value on them. Boy, they must really be somebody because they have that car. They must really be something because they have that house. They must really be something, and we put a value on them. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. That's a message for America today. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then you will get what you have prepared for yourself. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. I know people that are more concerned about their possessions than they are a sick child. They're more concerned with their entertainment than they are with hearing the Word of God, than coming and ministering to somebody. There's people that's so concerned and so consumed with the trophies of this world and this life. My closet has these ribbons and medallions from all the years of coaching Little League. Y'all know how good we were? We were awesome. We won first place year after year in the league. Man, we won tournaments. We traveled. We went to Tulsa. We went to Conway. We didn't win first place there, but we competed and we were good. Does that make y'all think any differently of me? You know how much dust is on those medals in there? It's trash. I don't even know why I've left them in there. It's like they need to be thrown out. Some of that stuff in the closet, my old Letterman jacket, my awards from high school are in a big box. It's trash. Who cares? But we put so much emphasis and so much value on that instead of being rich towards God. We put value on possessions. We put value on trophies. We put value on awards. And y'all, this is just me. Baseball, Little League brought people into my life, friendships into my life. People come to this church through that. It's not evil. But too many people let it become their God. And they practice 24/7 and they miss church and they do this and they do that all in the name of winning a little trophy or award so you can go to work and tell your buddies, we got first place. What do they want to do? They want to brag about their kids. Well, we got first place here. Well, my kid got all A's. Or they don't care. But we compete and we covet and we want and we desire more and more and more and more. And Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your hearts, for it is the wellspring of life. And the reason why I felt like the Lord wanted me to read this verse is because it's so easy to get caught up in coveting. It's so easy to get caught up in coveting other people's lives, other people's things, other people's houses or their spouses or all that their abundance. It's so easy to get caught up in that and say, I wish I had that. I wish my life was like that. I wish my husband was like that. I wish my wife was like, I wish I had a husband. I wish I had a wife. I wish. And looking and coveting and chasing after it, we need to guard our hearts. Because it's so easy to get sucked up into that. And Proverbs 30, verse 7 through 9 says, two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. So can I ask you, when was the last time you prayed that? Lord, you've given me enough. Slow down. I've got way too much money, Lord. I've got way, my refrigerator's way too full. God, that bonus, that was just too much. Stop. Stop already. I don't think I've ever honestly prayed that. Lord, you blessed me too much. No, it's usually, God, give me, give me, give me. Wasn't that Bill Britt? Give me, give me, give me, my name is Jimmy. Or something like that. He used to say. When do we really stop and say, God, I want my soul life to be so dependent upon you. Don't give me too little or I may steal. But don't give me too much because I may forget about you. It's more. More, more, more. Give me more, God. Give me what so-and-so has. Give me what my coworkers have. Give me what's in their lives. Philippians 4:10-13 says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concerns for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you have not had opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Are we content with just being children of God? Following His lead each and every day? Are we content with just knowing that our relationship is there? And we might not have the biggest house. Our car, we might have to jump start every couple days. Our clothes may not be the top of the line. We may not can afford steak, but we got beans to eat. Are we content in saying, God, I know you, and I know that relationship I have with you, and I believe that that's what it's talking about. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. That's not, I can do everything I want to do. That's in good and bad times. That's, He's going to be there with us. He's going to be there right beside us, that we can make it through life. Life's hard sometimes, but we can make it because God's there. God's there with us. God's not going to leave us or forsake us. James 1:14 says, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desires he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. I preached on it so many times. I think it's been a while since I've really did a full sermon on it. But church, the battle's right up here. It's in our minds. Because you begin to covet your neighbor's stuff, and that's the first step to sin. It's when you're tempted by your own evil desires. You want what they have. You want what they got. People covet in so many different things, y'all. And it's things, it's relationships. If somebody has a whole bunch of friends, if somebody has a great family and you don't, you can covet in all that and you can get caught up in it. And why don't I have that? Why? We got to guard our hearts. We got to guard our mind because sin gives birth to death. And it all begins with in our thoughts. And what are we thinking about? What are we desiring? Matthew 22, and we're going to finish up here. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. Matthew 22:37, it says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law, the prophets hang on these two commandments. So we always talk about those. We always talk about that. But now we've gone all the way through the Ten Commandments over the last 3-4 weeks. If you haven't been here every week and you'd like to hear it, we got it on YouTube. You can watch it. You can go back. But sometimes, like I said, it's so easy to look at this and say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And you go, okay, I do that. But do you have no other God before Him? Are you not making an idol? Not misusing His name? Remembering the Sabbath and keeping it holy? That's all part of the first and the greatest commandment. And then to love your neighbor as yourself is honoring your father and mother. Yes, that's loving your neighbor as yourself. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, and you shall not covet. What we talked about today. Sometimes we look at these verses and we just say, okay, I love God and I love my neighbor. But do we really? Do we really break down and go a little deeper like we have the last several weeks into this? Do we really break down and it's not just some emotional thing. It's not just some afterthought. Oh yeah, I love Jesus. I want to go to heaven. But it's really following what the Holy Spirit is laying upon your heart to do. It's really loving your neighbor. It's really when you're in a hurry and the Holy Spirit says, stop and talk to him. You stop and talk to him. I didn't see a commandment in there that said, Pete, stop and talk. But it's prompting of the Holy Spirit. Do I always do it right? No. Sometimes, I gotta go. I ain't got time for this. But it's following what the Holy Spirit lays upon our heart. And some of you might be sitting here and you've been here every week and you say, Pete, I'm good with two or three of them. But ten? Pete, I'm good with nine, but there's one that keeps hanging me up. There's one. Y'all, I'm not going to sit up here and say like I've got it all together, because just this morning I was praying, God, cleanse me. Help me up here. Why do I have these thoughts sometimes? God, help me. And all these things that I've read, the Lord didn't give them to us and say, well, there you go. See what you can do. No, He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Through Christ, we can do all these things. In Luke 18:27, Jesus replied, but it is impossible with man. But what is impossible with men is possible with God. When we submit our lives to Jesus Christ and the authority of the Holy Spirit, we can keep these commandments. We can follow the Lord and we can live victorious. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word. And Lord, I pray for each and every one here this morning that may be struggling with coveting in some way. Father, You know their heart. You know my heart. You know the things that I struggle with. You know the material possessions that I desire when I have no business desiring, Father. I thank You for strength and I thank You for clarity in my mind. And I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us would get there, Lord, that when that covetous spirit comes and we begin to desire what others have, Lord, that we would realize that we don't need that stuff, that our joy, that our peace, that our contentment is found in You. Lord, may You bring us that contentment, whether we have plenty or little. May we find that in seeking You. May we be hungry for Your Word and feed on Your Word at this time, Father. Lord, if there's any here this morning that's been struggling and they need prayer, may they cry out to You right now. If they need strength, may Your Holy Spirit come upon them right now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, the altars are open.
Holy Spirit, come rest on us.
You guys know I have my struggles, and I drive past this car dealership every day. And they got those new Ford Broncos out there. I told you about that. I can't afford one. I can't. I really can't. But I find myself looking more than I should. And sometimes I'll stop myself. And I'll begin to thank God for my little Civic. It gets great gas mileage. Gets me back and forth to work. I'm dirty when I get off work. I don't have to worry about if I got grease, if I got whatever on me. I'm not messing up a new car. It's got stains already. It's got dings and dents. And I just thank God for that. But sometimes I don't. Sometimes I desire that new truck, that new car, more than I should. Y'all, Satan is doing whatever he can to destroy us. Whether it's a mountain of debt or a smile from a coworker that he's trying to lead you down a path of an affair, or whether it's you, people steal other people's kids because they want a kid so bad. We have to guard our thoughts. We have to guard our minds. And we have to be thankful for what the Lord has given us. I didn't preach on thankfulness and thanksgiving. We were in the middle of all this. But y'all, being content and being grateful for what you have is one of the major ways of winning the battle against covetousness. I said that. I didn't even mess it up. I don't think I'll say it again. I'm going to take like 2 minutes with the elders in the back to talk to them about helping that lady. If anybody does want to help, if you'll just hang around for a minute, I'll give you sizes and everything. If you can't help, just pray for them. If you need help, if you know somebody that needs help, let us know. This church loves to help people. We really do. And sometimes when we go a few weeks or a few months without helping anybody, I get nervous. God, why haven't you sent someone that we can help? We love to help people. So if you need help, you know somebody that needs help, you have a coworker that needs help, let us know. Okay? If you want to help, stick around for a few minutes. I won't take long with the elders. I'm going right back to the back to talk to them. So Kyle, Tim, Amanda, meet me back there, okay? Y'all have a blessed day.